Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some hauntings announce themselves with a crash, a door slamming in an empty room, a scream in the dead of night, footsteps where no one stands. Others arrive like a whisper, so faint, so subtle. You almost convince yourself you imagined it. Almost. But then the dog sees it too. That's how this story begins. Not with blood-curdling terror, but with a dog baying at thin air. At first, it's almost funny. A dog spooked by a draft, reacting to nothing at all. But when that same moment repeats itself at the same time every single night, you start to wonder, what if it's not nothing? What if it's someone? On this episode, we follow a mother and son who thought they were getting a fresh start in a cozy new apartment, a place where musicians played on porches and neighbors shared bottles of wine. But hidden beneath the friendly facade was a story the building couldn't forget, a story written not in ink, but in restless energy and unfinished business. What they found wasn't just a ghost, it was a spirit too lost to leave and too heartbroken to stay. Is it possible to haunt yourself, not just a place, but the very moment your life ends? Can a spirit forget its dead? And if so, what happens when someone remembers them? Let's get to the letter. They write, "I've never written to anyone about this before, so I'm not exactly sure where to start. But since you've probably heard stranger things than this, I'll just lay it out the way it happened, and you can decide for yourself what it all means. My son and I moved into Mosswood Flats last November. It's not fancy, but it's the kind of place you move into when money's tight and you're hoping for a little luck. The building's old, layers of paint over cracked walls, thin floors that creak under every step, but it's got charm. Musicians live upstairs. There's always someone smoking on the porch with a guitar, and the neighbors are quick to offer a beer or a hand with heavy boxes. It felt like the kind of place where everyone's been through something, so no one judges when your story's a little messy. We got ourselves settled in a single weekend. Didn't take long since we don't own much. The first few nights were quiet, or maybe I just didn't notice the noise yet. It wasn't until the third or fourth night that my dog, Finnegan, started acting off. It was exactly 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was sprawled out on his side, snoring the way only a 90-pound hound can, when all at once he jerked upright. Not just a lazy stretch, either. It was like someone had dropped a firecracker next to him. He stood, ears up, staring at the front door, like it had offended him personally. Then came the baying, this deep, mournful howl that shook the walls. He paced a little, sniffing the air like he was trying to catch a scent that didn't exist. I opened the door, expecting to see the mailman or a delivery, but the porch was empty. Not even a leaf moving. I told myself it was nothing. Dogs bark at ghosts all the time, right? Little air pockets, strange smells, they see things we can't. I would have believed that too if it only happened once, but At exactly 2 p.m. the next day, Finnegan did it again. Same pacing, same baying. Then again at 7 that night. And again at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when my son and I started calling it the guy. Like, oh, the guy's back to play with the dog. It was half a joke, but only half. You could feel it. The way the air would turn just slightly colder, just in that one spot near the door. It wasn't threatening. Not at first. It felt curious, almost playful. Like someone watching from the edges, unsure whether they were welcome. I don't scare easy, Tony. I've lived through enough real-life nightmares to know ghosts aren't the scariest thing in the world. But there's something about your dog barking at empty air in the dead of night that gets under your skin. I started sleeping with one ear open, waiting for that 2 a.m. bay like it was an alarm clock from the other side. After a week of this, I decided to do something about it. Not a full-blown exorcism or anything, just a cleansing. Something to clear the air. I invited a few neighbors over for a blessing party because if you're going to chase ghosts out of your house, you might as well make a night of it. We burned sage in every corner, sang songs, some spiritual, some drunk karaoke, and told the guy as politely as possible that he was welcome to move along. It felt good. Light, even. Like shaking dust out of a rug. The night after the blessing, everything seemed quiet. No barking, no cold spot. My son and I sat on the porch playing chess with Finnegan snoring at our feet. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, we had the front door propped open to let in the cool air. That's when I saw him. He was lying right there on the porch floor, a boy, maybe late teens or early 20s, just sprawled out like he'd been taking a nap. Shaggy hair, cut-off jeans, no shirt, and a sleepy smile that reminded me of every stoner kid I've ever known. At first, I thought he was one of the neighbor's kids, someone who wandered over to say hi, but then he stood up. He looked right at me, not past me, not around me, at me. And Tony, his eyes were the emptiest, saddest things I've ever seen. Not angry, not lost, just confused. Like a kid who walked into the wrong house and couldn't figure out why no one knew his name. Finnegan woke up and went into his routine, baying. Then that strange, gulping swallow, then the cautious sniff like he does with strangers. The boy put his hand out for the dog to sniff. But when he tried to step inside, he couldn't. He hit some kind of invisible wall right at the door frame. I could see the confusion twist his face. He wanted to come in, but something stopped him cold. He looked at me one last time, like he was sorry for breaking some rule, and then he vanished. I didn't scream. I didn't panic. I just sat there, hand frozen on the chess piece I was about to move. My son didn't see him, only me and the dog. But that night I knew. The guy wasn't just some pocket of old air or a memory stuck in the wood. He was real, and he was stuck. The next day I started asking around just casually, you know, hey, anyone ever die here? What I got back was like rolling a dice where every side says yes. Overdose and shootings, a guy who drank himself to death. Pick your poison. But one story stuck with me. A boy, maybe 19 or 20, overdosed on that very porch years ago. No one remembered his name. They just called him Porch Boy. Suddenly, everything made sense. The lying down, the sad smile, the confusion at the door. He didn't know. Tony, he didn't know he was dead. That was the moment I realized this wasn't a haunting. It was a loop, a soul stuck in the last moment of his life over and over again. And for some reason, it was my front door that stood between him and whatever came next, and that was only the beginning. After that night, I started paying closer attention, not just to the boy, but to the air itself. The cold spot near the door became something sharper, more defined. It wasn't a draft anymore. It was a presence standing there like someone waiting to be invited in. Finnegan felt it too. Every time 2 a.m. rolled around, he'd lift his head, sniff the air, and let out this low, uneasy whine, like he knew the boy was there but couldn't decide whether to guard the house or invite him inside. I never saw the boy full on again after that second time, but I could feel him. Sometimes I'd catch movement from the corner of my eye. Just the suggestion of someone picking themselves up off the porch, stretching like they'd just woken up. Other nights I'd sit on the couch and the air near the door would turn heavy, like stepping into deep water. It was no longer playful. It felt expectant, like he was waiting for me to do something, to see him again, to help. One night when Finnegan started his usual pacing at the door, I made a decision. I stood right there in the coldest part of the room and spoke out loud, quietly, carefully, because I wasn't sure who was listening. "Buddy," I said, "do you know you've passed?" The air shifted just a little. Not a breeze, not a draft, a response like the room itself exhaled. I didn't feel fear, Tony. What I felt was pity. This wasn't some vengeful ghost rattling chains and slamming doors. This was a kid, barely more than a boy, who simply never realized the party ended and everyone went home without him. That's when I remembered something I'd read online about helping spirits move on. The idea was to visualize a light, like opening a door into something brighter, and gently guide them toward it. I felt ridiculous even thinking about it, but what the hell? What did I have to lose? So I closed my eyes, pictured a column of light stretching from floor to ceiling, and spoke to the boy again. "It's okay," I told him. "You didn't do anything wrong. It's just time to go somewhere better than this." At first, nothing happened. Then Finnegan stopped pacing. His ears went back, his tail relaxed, and he lay down right there in the doorway, something he'd never done before. And the cold, it drained away like water down a sink. I didn't see the boy leave, but I felt it. A thinning of the air, a loosening like an old knot finally coming undone. For a week, the apartment was quiet. No baying, no cold spot, no fleeting glimpses from the corner of my eye. I almost believed it was over, until one last time. It was dusk, the air just starting to turn that hazy blue before night fully settles in. I was sitting on the porch alone, watching the sky. Finnegan lay at my feet, snoring softly. Out of nowhere, the temperature dipped, not cold enough to see my breath, just enough to notice. And when I glanced down the length of the porch, I saw him. Not all of him, just the shape of him, like sunlight catching dust. He was lying down, same as before, hands tucked under his head like a pillow. Only this time, when he sat up and turned toward me, there was no confusion in his face. Just sadness, like saying goodbye before you're ready. I didn't speak. I just raised my hand in a small wave. The boy blinked once, slow, heavy, then faded into the air. That was the last time I ever saw him. After that, I couldn't stop thinking about my own close call. Years ago, after a medical emergency, I flatlined in a hospital bed for just under 2 minutes. I remember waking up, sitting up, and seeing the room from a strange angle, like I was floating just outside my own body. For a moment, I wasn't dead, but I wasn't alive either. I was in between. The difference was, someone told me I was still here. Someone pulled me back. But this boy, no one was there to tell him. He lay down one night, maybe too drunk, too high, too tired, and never woke up. And when his spirit sat up, there was no one to say, "You're done now, it's time to go." So he just stayed, confused, waiting, stuck. I wish I could tell you who he was, Tony. I asked around the building, but no one could remember his name. There's 1,000 stories tied to that porch, drunken fights, heartbreaks, overdoses, and they all blur together until nobody's face matters anymore. To the neighbors, he was just one more ghost in a building full of them. But to me, he was the boy who didn't know he died. The strange part is, I don't think he was ever truly angry. Even after we blessed the apartment and shut the door in his face, he didn't lash out. He just stood there, waiting. Because when you don't know you're gone, what else is there to do but wait? We don't live there anymore. My son and I moved out a few months later, not because of the ghost, just life pulling us somewhere else. I sometimes wonder if the next tenant will feel him too. The cold spot, the baying dog, the boy lying on the porch floor, blinking in confusion as the living world moves past him. Wherever he is now, I hope someone finally remembered his name. Signed, Eleanor. You know, stories like this always hit a little different, not because they're the loudest or the scariest, but because they feel possible. Not a demonic haunting or some vengeful spirit trying to drag you through the floorboards, no spinning heads or flying knives, just a kid. A kid who died too soon, too quietly, and slipped through the cracks of memory. What stands out to me is how simple the haunting was. It wasn't the apartment itself that was haunted. Not really. It was that moment on the porch. That last breath, that last confusion, looping endlessly because no one ever told him, "It's over. You're done now." When you think about it, that's not just a ghost story. That's a tragedy. And maybe, just maybe, that's the kind of haunting we should all be afraid of. Not the ones with blood and chains, but the ones where someone's life stopped and nobody noticed. Where someone's story ended and there was no one there to turn the page. Psychologically, you could explain this as residual grief energy, especially in a building with a history like that. Places carry weight. When a neighborhood's been through enough death, enough sorrow, it soaks into the walls. And people talk about haunted houses, but what if it's the air that remembers? What if trauma leaves fingerprints and some of us are just more sensitive to touch them? But then there's the other side, the part science struggles to measure. The part where the dog sees something first, the part where the air actually changes temperature, the part where a stranger's ghost can look you in the eye and not know he's dead. Those moments, they don't fit neatly into psychology textbooks. Maybe the most unsettling thing about this story isn't the ghost itself. It's the idea that someone could die so quietly that they forget how to leave. That's not just paranormal, that's existential. Because if it can happen to him, it can happen to any of us. In the end, the question isn't whether ghosts are real. The question is, when it's our time to go, will someone be there to tell us? Because if no one remembers your name, do you even know you're gone?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's. Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.